League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Friday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Plenty to get to here in this second hour. Really a sample of everything. Our guy Keith Stewart will join us in just a little bit to look at round number two fully underway on this Cut Day Friday in Northern Ireland at the 2025 Open Championship. Two Americans at the top of the leaderboard, the 2023 winner of the Claret Jug. The lefty, Brian Harman, 7-under par for the tournament, 5-under today in round number two, and only one shot back, an English man, but an American, Harris English, 6-under par. He was 4-under in his opening round. One of those five guys tied atop the leaderboard DRS after Thursday. He is 2-under on this Cut Day Friday. One shot back of Harman. He is 6-under for the tournament in Harris English. I believe two Georgia Bulldogs, if I'm not mistaken.
By the way, 5-under for Harman, 5-under for McIntyre, 4-under for Keegan Bradley, 4-under for Harry Hall today. As a couple of these guys really making some moves. We usually wait till what? Saturday for a little moving day and get in position and have some fun before that or post-cut deadline here. We'll see what happens. But this looks like this golf course can be had. Maybe something that we're looking forward to when Scottie Scheffler tees off at 10:10 Eastern and he sees those numbers out there and maybe adjust his golf game accordingly after shooting 3-under yesterday. He goes another 3-under today. He's right up there in that top five again.
It's a really good point, DRS. And one thing that we'll ask Keith, who has been paying attention to all the action on this Friday and in the opening round Thursday, what is the weather looking like today at Royal Port Rush, for the afternoon and evening hours? Because right now, rather calm, rather tepid, and the guys are taking advantage. How about the Scott, Bobby Mack? Robert McIntyre, 5-under through 14. He was even par yesterday. He is now 5-under for the championship overall. This Friday, also important, DRS, because it's the start of the second half post-All-Star break of the Major League Baseball season in 2025. Every club on the diamond today, all 30. We've got 15 games. Every club, all 30, has played at least 95 of their 162 games of the regular season. You might think it's the midway point. It really is not. Let's go back to the American League playoff picture just to make one final point, DRS, before we talk those pennant prices in the American League. You see those three divisional leaders, the Tigers, the Astros, and the Jays. Every one of those three clubs holds at least a multiple game advantage for the top spot in their division. 11.5 for Detroit, 5 for the Astros, and Donnie, for the Blue Jays, it's still 2 games in front of the Yankees, 3 in front of the Red Sox. But of our 6 divisions around baseball, the Blue Jays are our only divisional leader here at the break that leads in the division in the standings and is not the favorite to win said division. The Yankees still remain a minus 130 favorite to win the American League East. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does, because of how much money they've had on the Yankees throughout the entirety of the season. And you can't change it up too much. Then people start double down on the Yankees with an unbelievable favorable price. And it's only a two-game shortchange, let's just say, at the All-Star break. And also, what are the expectations? Is Toronto going to go another 10-game win streak and blow the Yankees, Red Sox, and Rays out of the water? No. It looks like it's pretty even keel at this point, which you're still having some of that bias of coming into the season saying, all right, well, let's look at the rankings themselves. We got the Yankees, we got the Red Sox, and probably the Orioles had a lot of life to start. Like, the Blue Jays are an afterthought. You're still getting some of that sentiment, even though they're in first place at the All-Star break. But would you be surprised, Ben, by next Friday? Hey, Yankees on a nice win streak. Red Sox are up to 15 in a row, and the Blue Jays playing 500 baseball, no longer in first place. That's why you're getting that. I love that lineup. It's a lot of fun, but also the expectations are still getting, you know, sort of taken out by what we were expecting heading into the season and what we're getting right now.
No doubt about it, DRS. And again, it might strike you a little bit funny because you look at a couple of the races in the National League. The Phils only a half game lead in front of the Mets. The Cubbies holding off Milwaukee by a game. But the Brew Crew has made that NL Central race fascinating because they have won seven straight, have a 25-12 record since the start of June. That's the best in all of baseball. And yet, the Cubs are a minus 290 favorite to win the Central. The Phillies, despite only leading by a half game, or minus 185 to win the National League East. Again, interesting stuff. American League pennant prices, DRS, about a couple of weeks ago, the Yankees might remain the favorites to win the American League East, but for the first time, the Tigers having that best record in baseball and the AL leapfrog New York for that favorite to win the AL pennant. Plus 260 on the Tigers, plus 330 on the Yankees, plus 390 on the Stros. And then a rather large drop off to the Jays at 9-1, the M's and the Red Sox at 11-1. The Rays only a game and a half out of a wild card spot. The Rangers only 3.5 games out of a wild card spot as well. DRS, when you look at the American League pennant prices, how do you evaluate it?
It should be exactly the way they are. I trust the Detroit Tigers. Yeah. I trust the New York Yankees, and I trust the Houston Astros. That's where you see that shelf from plus 380 on the Astros all the way down to plus 850 on a current first-place team here with the Toronto Blue Jays. The expectations for the Blue Jays are, yeah, they might be able to win that division, but I'm not trusting it. Same thing with the Seattle Mariners. We've seen this so many times in the past. Like, hey, having a pretty good season in first place, and all of a sudden they're not because the Houston Astros are a better ball club than they are. The Red Sox, like, is this fool's gold that we're getting? A 10-game win streak at the break where you give up Rafael Devers and somehow you wind up a better baseball team? And also that starting pitching staff, can it hold up in the second half of the season? The Rays are always the Rays. They'll impress, like, who hit the home run? Who got the big base hit? Who's actually on the mound? Who's opening? Like, just the teams that I trust are the teams in the Tigers, Yankees, and Astros, where I think they'll make some shrewd moves at the deadline. The Tigers aren't going to lose the division, so there's certainly going to be a first round buy opportunity, which means even if they wind up, let's just say, in that first round, all right, well, they could still win that. You got Tarik Skubal in a short series. I just don't look at the Blue Jays, Mariners, and the Red Sox the same way I look at the Tigers, the Yankees, and the Astros.
You know, DRS, I think it's really fair, right, in terms of trusting in those teams, and it's why they have that shorter price, kind of in a tier or peg of their own than everybody else, despite the fact, again, that Toronto has a two-game lead for the American League East. We are also going to start looking at the standings, not just who's going to win a division, who's going to earn a playoff berth in a wild card spot, but the top two. Again, in the expanded MLB postseason, we have opening round buys for the top two seeds, those top two division winners. Right now, both Detroit and Houston, pretty hefty favorites to earn those opening round buys in the American League. Minus 550 on the Tigers, minus 115 on the Stros. The Yankees plus 160. Of course, New York would first have to catch Toronto, then catch Houston and or Detroit. Yeah. In the National League, DRS, the Dodgers are minus 850 to earn that opening round bye. Currently, the Cubs have that second best price and the second best record, only a half game behind LA. Even money plus 100 to be the other team to earn that opening round bye in the NL playoff picture.
Yeah, and by the way, the NL is a lot deeper to me than the ALs. We talked about those top three teams, and nobody can probably penetrate them.
Yeah.
Take a look at the Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Mets, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Padres, and the Giants. It's like, hey, you know what? One of those teams gets hot. You have a lot to trust on. Maybe the team I look at and say I don't want to probably bet on is the Milwaukee Brewers, just from like a firepower standpoint, right? Like, you get Yelich and a bunch of guys, and they have a solid bullpen, and they have some good starters. But when you look at star power, the Dodgers have it, the Phillies have it, the Mets have it, the Cubs have it, yeah, the Padres have it. Even the Giants have it. So you see like the Brewers in the middle at that 13-1 price because they do have a legitimate chance to take down the Cubs in that division. But overall, it's probably not a team that I'm looking forward to going deep in the playoffs, but there is no shelf. Like even though plus 120 on the Dodgers goes back to plus 480 on the Phillies, I look at them in the same scope along with the Mets, Cubs, Padres, and Giants, where if these teams were to match up in the playoffs, I'm not saying like, just move this team through. Like all of those teams, yeah, have a legitimate chance to do some damage once they get to the playoffs. That's a fun field in the NL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Round number 2 on Cut Day Friday at Royal Portrush already well underway. So to help us make sense of what we are seeing at the 153rd playing of the Open Championship, we welcome back on our guy, Keith Stewart, up bright and early on this Friday following all of the action as he did yesterday through opening round Thursday. Keith, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on this Friday morning.
Ben, Donnie, it's a pleasure to be with you. And you know what? Round 2 is better than round 1 so far. The guys are going low. I absolutely love it. Cut lines fluctuating. It's going to be a very, very interesting next couple hours over there at Royal Portrush.
No doubt about it. That projected cut right now to over, but as Keith told us in the break, with guys going so low on this Friday and maybe calm conditions continuing into the afternoon and evening hours, might that cut line be on the move? Keith, let's start with the story of Friday. The 2023 Champion Golfer of the Year, the lefty, Brian Harman, who won at Royal Liverpool, and now, as he is 5 under through 16 holes, as he nears the conclusion of his second round, is the tournament leader once again. 7 under for the tournament. What have you seen out of the Open champion from 2023 on this Friday at Royal Portrush?
I tell you what, in the opening rounds of the Open Championship, Mr. Harman, he seems to love to play rounds 1 and 2. I mean, he was 10 under at Royal Liverpool a couple of years ago, and he's going deep again 2 rounds in. And here's the crazy thing, guys, right? He's 5 under par today, and he's losing strokes with this putter to the field, right? That's how good he's striking it with his driver, and he's 2nd in the field right now in approach. We've been talking about this all week. Take the iron players in the head-to-heads. Take the iron players below and the over-unders, right? The guys that can strike it with those clubs from the fairway are the ones that we want to take, and Harman's putting on a stripe show right now.
Breaking through here, talking about some of the American golfers. How about Tony Finau, -4 on the tournament, 3 under today, but also some names that we haven't seen up on that leaderboard quite often. Justin Thomas is under par. Jordan Spieth is under par. Ricky Fowler is under par for this tournament. Keith, just like an overage on like the Open Championship. Why do we get to see guys that we typically don't see maybe challenging, always have a chance to challenge across the seas? I love to see it, man. One of these guys can break through in this tournament, be fantastic.
Well, the simple answer to your question, Donnie, is length, right? Some of those guys you just mentioned, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, they don't bomb it out there like the Brysons and the Rorys. So all of our majors over here, they definitely favor speed off the tee. Now you bring it back to Royal Portrush, which is much more of a shot maker, much more of a creative landscape and setting and scorecard. Then now all of a sudden, a guy like Jordan Spieth can keep up. I mean, you didn't even mention Captain Keegan Bradley. I mean, the Ryder Cup captain, the guy taking the team to Bethpage, Donnie, right? He went out and shot 4 under this morning. He's in the mix. He's at 3 under par, and he's sitting in the clubhouse. So he was fantastic today. And one of the things that Keegan's done with this season, besides win at the Travelers, is that he was second-ranked in the field in strokes gained around the green. The guy just gets it in the hole. And if this thing stays right around 10 under par for the winner or even less and in the single digits if we get weather over the weekend, Keegan Bradley, that American, is going to be an even bigger factor. And next Wednesday, a bigger storyline come Bethpage.
Yeah, 3 under right now for the championship. Captain America Keegan Bradley. Brian Harman, the leader right now, trying to do his best to earn a spot on the Ryder Cup team. How about his fellow Georgia Bulldog in Harris English, 5 under par. Keith, yesterday we had 5 guys tied at 4 under for our opening round leaders. Harris English in the fold. Currently on the course, we've got 6 guys at 4 under or better on this round 2 Friday. Do you expect those low scores to continue into the afternoon hours and over the weekend in Northern Ireland?
Ben, I expect the low scores to get lower. The wind is going to lay down this afternoon. Right now, this morning, these guys are playing just under a stroke over par. To give you an idea and some perspective, yesterday the golf course played in total about 2 strokes over par. So it's about half easier than it was yesterday. And this afternoon, the wind's going to lay down. The wind's been in the mid-teens this morning. They haven't really dealt with very much rain. There might be a band of rain coming in later. That just softens the surfaces, makes them more approachable. There's been a considerable amount of bounce there, right? But when the wind lays down into the single digits, these guys this afternoon, John Rahm hit more greens in regulation yesterday than anybody. He led the field, right? That guy is just waiting like a Spanish bull in the gate for Pamplona, right? This guy is ready to roll this afternoon. I think they are going to score. I love the fact that Fitz hasn't been out there yet, and he's sitting there at -4. You know, if Harman sits there right around 7 where he's at, these guys that ended the day under par yesterday, 5, 6 under par is well within reach. And I think we're going to have a really, really tight leaderboard and a fun one going into the weekend.
Top 14 are tied in the top 14. Rory McIlroy, 2 under for the tournament, 1 under for the day through 13 holes, measuring him up for the weekend, because just watching the highlights and watching anything live, when Rory's up there, certainly the fan favorite there. Does he have enough to get over the hump, or are we starting to run away right now with some of those top guys on the leaderboard, which he won't be a factor this weekend?
Well, Donnie, it's been a roller coaster this morning with Rory. Yeah. The driver has been everywhere. It's been all over the planet. He has got to ratchet that thing in. And, you know, it was a common theme with Scotty yesterday, too. If those two favorites want to get the job done, they got to put the ball in play, because some of these other guys are doing it with, you know, with tremendous aplomb. And it's absolutely fantastic to watch, because when they do that, then they carve in all sorts of shots to these hole locations that are sitting behind some humps and some swales. There's some approachable ones like the par 3 13th. There's going to be a hole in one there today. I mean, guys are hitting it so tight there. The par fives, they're reachable because of the wind conditions. This afternoon is going to be a ton of fun. And just watch that leaderboard start to really rise up. It's going to be really, really cool, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
14 to 1, the price now on Rory. Double the price he had pre-championship. 6th best currently for McIlroy. Quickly here, Keith, in the final 30, 45 seconds of this segment, the tournament favorite and still is Scotty Scheffler at +220. 3 under in his opening round. His round score over under 68.5. He tees off in just under an hour. What do we expect out of Scheffler at Royal Portrush today?
Hey, Benny, he hit it everywhere yesterday and shot 3 under. Right. So I think for sure that you smash the under again. And you know what I'm really going to enjoy? The next hour trying to watch Bryson to see if he makes the cut. We got all sorts of entertainment at Portrush, guys. Enjoy.
It is very good stuff. You're watching us. You're watching Keith Stewart break it all down. Maybe on another screen, if you're at work, turn on the Open Championship as well. Keith, have a wonderful weekend. Appreciate all the great work this week, my man. More on the Early Line comes up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Live right here on this Friday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid, the man that can do it all, one of our favorites here on TEL, Brian Fonseca, joins us for back-to-back segments with a boxing focus. And a guy named Manny Pacquiao back in the ring? What year is it? 2009? And then a basketball focus and a guy named Damian Lillard back in Portland. What year is it? 2014? Fonseca, thank you for the flashback Friday here on the Early Line. We appreciate your time in both segments.
If it was 2009 or 2014, Manny Pacquiao would have a much better chance of winning this fight. But unfortunately, it's 2025.
Yeah, so that's kind of the story when it comes to this fight taking place in Las Vegas tomorrow night at the MGM Grand. Mario Barrios taking on Manny Pacquiao. Barrios only 30 years old, Fonseca. Manny Pacquiao is 46. His last fight was a loss back in 2021. So let's start why the Pac-Man is even back in the ring. Fonseca at 46 after nearly a four-year retirement. Why is Manny Pacquiao back fighting again?
I think there's two reasons that you can look at. One, he's not a good politician. Seriously. Like,
I expected a follow-up, yeah, and that's good. Real good.
Yeah, that seriously, was good. He's pissed a lot of people off with his politics, and people don't know he was like a senator in the Philippines or whatever. His regime didn't seem to be doing so well. Two, I think Amazon Prime needs a banger, and I said this on my YouTube channel. It's like, here's the thing: Amazon Prime hasn't put the same emphasis on boxing as Showtime did. And this is relevant because Premier Boxing Champions was previously with Showtime and Fox. And before that, they also had deals with NBC and ESPN and Spike TV and Bounce TV and CBS and seemingly every network possible when they launched in 2015. Since then, it got whittled down to Showtime and Fox, predominantly Showtime after a while, though, like the Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury events had, Fox pay-per-view, for example. Now you have Amazon Prime and you have cards with a lot less frequency, and if Mario Barrios is going to fight one of the actual contenders in the welterweight division, by the way, probably the worst welterweight division in terms of talent in my lifetime, and it's going to get worse now that Jaron Boutsenis, the best welterweight in the world, is probably going to move up to 154 pounds. You have, in the rankings, not a lot of dudes who are going to be a draw. And if you're going to sell Mario Barrios' main event, his number one contender is Solomon Sissoko. Nobody here has seen him fight before. Number two is Raul Curiel. Nobody here has seen him fight before. Like, Edmontes Stanionis is up there. Nobody here has seen him fight before, except for maybe him getting battered by Jerome Boots Ennis in his last fight. So if Amazon Prime is going to need a banger for a sport that they're not even that committed to, because here's the thing. If you had Showtime before, it's probably because you like boxing. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, you liked, you know, one of their shows or whatever. But there's a good chance. If you have DAZN right now, you probably like boxing. If you have Amazon Prime, it's because you like Amazon Prime. Like, you're not getting it for boxing. So I think Amazon Prime needs a jolt. And Manny Pacquiao is the guy to do it, because even today, even right now, he's more popular than probably every boxer in the world, except for maybe Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I agree with you there, Brian. If we take a look at the fight itself, too, because I'm just looking at some of the over-unders for rounds. This isn't one where you expect, like, oh, he's only got three rounds, like he's training like he's Rocky late in his career. He's only got a couple. Like, this is 11 and a half. So what are the expectations for the fight style for you between these two?
Well, if Manny Pacquiao could land some of his flurries, that'd be nice. 4 years ago, yeah, he looked washed when he fought Yordanis Ugas and landed 16% of his punches. And Ugas is good, but, you know, Ugas is not like he... If Manny Pacquiao won that fight, and maybe upstairs they knew what they were doing, Manny Pacquiao, if he won this fight, he would have fought Errol Spence next, probably, in a unification. And thank God that didn't happen. Because then, I mean, we would have avoided this. But, like, and here's the thing. Like, there's a world where, and this is why Mario Barrios is fighting specifically. I think the thought is, oh, he can take him. Because Mario Barrios barely beat Abel Ramos in his last fight. Abel Ramos, who has several losses. And, you know, that was a fight that was on the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul card that went to a draw. So people actually might have watched that fight. Ultimately, Mario Barrios only has two losses and two very good fighters, Keith Thurman and Gervonta Davis. But he should not lose this fight. Manny Pacquiao is 46 years old. He's closer to 50 than 40. He looked washed 4 years ago. He hasn't looked great in any of his exhibitions. And, like, I just if Mario Barrios loses this fight, like, it is a travesty. He probably I don't know what he does if he loses this fight. Like, he should not lose this. And he's 6 feet tall with a near 6 foot reach.
A minus 280 favorite. There's a heavyweight bout tomorrow in London. We asked Fonseca about next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A big boxing weekend and then to some basketball with our guy Brian Fonseca. We also have a bout tomorrow at Wembley Stadium in London to be the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. It is Oleksandr Usyk, who once was the undisputed heavyweight champ, but relinquished his IBF belt to the guy that he is squaring off against in the ring tomorrow, the Brit Daniel Dubois. As we will see, Fonseca, Usyk, a hefty favorite to be undisputed as the heavyweight champ once more, minus 430. So break down the boxing match. Who becomes the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world tomorrow night in London?
So this is the second time these two are fighting. And the reason why this is happening is because the first one ended in controversy. Dubois hit Oleksandr Usyk low. And there's a debate, even to this day, as to whether or not it was a low blow or not. And to be honest with you, only one man can tell us that it was a low blow, and that's Oleksandr Usyk. And he maintains it's a low blow, but some people have accused them of getting hit in a borderline area and then kind of overselling it to make it look like a low blow. Like, he's done this before in different fights against Artur Beterbiev in the amateurs, against Anthony Joshua in their second fight earlier on in his career. He's done it. Like, I don't think Oleksandr Usyk is a cheat or anything like that. That's something that people are saying. I do not think that. I think he's the best boxer in the world. I think he's pound for pound number one right now. Number one. Terence Crawford and Naoya Inoue are right there with him. But he's the best, especially after beating Tyson Fury twice the way that he did, especially the second time. That being said, you know, it looked like to some a clean body shot that he should have been counted as a knockdown for. I tend to think that if it was counted as a knockdown, he would have gotten right up and then, you know, proceed with the fight. To me, this is a massive, massive fight because Daniel Dubois also is coming off a tear where he upsets Filip Hrgović. Before that, beats Jarrell Miller. And after that, he beats Anthony Joshua, which is late last year, which is you know, a knockout that gave us one of the funniest photos of all time. If you look up the Daniel Dubois, Anthony Joshua knockout, it's hilarious. I think Oleksandr Usyk ultimately outclasses him, but the odds are shorter than the first time they fought because Daniel Dubois is just on a heater, and it's entirely possible that maybe he just catches him.
If we take a look at the fight itself here, Brian, look at the over-under for rounds 9.5, but also some bets here. Will the fight go the distance? Is plus money to run a plus 140 price? Do we see a knockout that stops this, or do you think that we go the distance here?
Yeah, and this is the thing. Dubois got stopped. So he got dropped in round 8 and stopped in round 9. So the over-under at 9.5 is just like perfect. It's like, oh, which way are you going to go? Usyk also knocked him out with a jab, which gives you an idea of how strong a former cruiserweight undisputed champion is. But Usyk he's awesome. And I think I kind of lean late stoppage. I don't know if I want to bet method of victory more than I just want to put Usyk in a parlay, probably with Mario Barrios, to be honest, who we just mentioned earlier, you know, and maybe something else because that won't have a crazy amount of value, I don't think, with just those two. But yeah, I think Usyk should win this, but I don't want to count out Daniel Dubois. He's more than just a power puncher. I think people feel like he's just that, and he's not a guy where like the moment feels too big for him anymore, where that was a criticism of him early on in his career. I feel like he really turned a corner. He's also 27 and Usyk is in his later 30s because Usyk took forever to turn pro because he was tearing it up in the amateurs, winning medals and things of that nature. But Daniel Dubois, he's like in the prime of his career, and he's one of these guys like is capable of just putting your lights out with one shot.
It is a big boxing Saturday. Manny Pacquiao makes his return to the ring against Mario El Azteca Barrios in Las Vegas and in London. First up here stateside, the heavyweight bout to be the undisputed champion of the world between Oleksandr Usyk and Daniel Dubois. We also, Fonseca, want to talk some NBA offseason drama. Damian Lillard signing a 3-year, $42 million deal to return to the Portland Trail Blazers. The past two seasons in Milwaukee, that didn't work. The first 11 years of his career, maybe the most notable trailblazer of all time. But Fonseca, we talked about after he was released, waived, and then stretched over the final five or the next 5 years by the Bucks, Dame would kind of have his pick of the litter. We thought he would consider a championship contender either this year as he recovers from a ruptured Achilles or even to start 2026-27. So outside of the sentimental value, why did Dame choose Portland again?
Well, people have speculated whether or not this is about his personal stuff that's going on. I'm not going to like get too deep into that. But I do wonder if, you know, because there's a world where, because it doesn't make sense if you're trying to win a title, if you're Damian Lillard and you care about that. But maybe he just needs to go home and handle some business for a little while. You know what I mean? And the puzzling thing for me was the no trade clause, which also tells me if Damian Lillard wants to. Now, this is kind of like a half-baked conspiracy theory, but is he just going home to take care of what he has to take care of, rehab at the crib, and then after a year try to get moved to a contender? And actually the team he wants, because he wanted to go to the Heat before, and then he ended up in Milwaukee and was open to going to the Nets reportedly, but ended up going to Milwaukee. So there's kind of a world where it's like, all right, well, let's try this again, even though I'm going to be a little bit older. I'll rehab, I'll handle what I got to handle, and then go somewhere else with my no trade clause, because I can just force myself out. I don't know if that's going to happen. Like, maybe he just really loves it there and just wants to retire there. I don't think he ever wanted to leave to begin with, but it just made sense in terms of wanting to try to capitalize on what was left of his prime. And now we could all agree, like, his prime is probably done. That's not to say he still can't be a really good player, though, even if he has to be relegated to a seventh, eighth man a year. But having an Achilles at this stage of your career in your mid-30s when you've been in the league for 10-plus years is tough. And I do think that, like, when he comes back, he could still be a really good player. I would just personally want to see it on a better team. I don't think Portland's terrible. I think they're actually going to be, like, pretty fun to watch. Like, if you're a league pass junkie this year, they have some guys, and we'll see, like, seriously, like Denny Advija, Tumari Kamara, Scoot Henderson. Like, we'll see what some of these guys can become. Hansen Young.
Who else? Thank you.
Who am I missing? Oh, okay. Hansen Young.
No, Mr. Handsome and Young. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He looks like he's going to be really good, potentially, even though people thought he was drafted too soon. So I think Portland could, like, Are they going to be a play-in team? I don't know, but they could be young, fun, and exciting. I don't know if that's what Damian Lillard, if he wants to win a championship, should be around right now. But again, he could rehab at home. Why not? You know, just why not? And then potentially even play for them at some point. And maybe they're a lot better in a year using some of the draft capital and the young guys that they have. But I don't know. We'll see.
Are we surprised, Brian, that the deal came together so quickly here? Because it's not a rush. Like, he's not going to get back on the court, let's just say, in September, October, or November. Was there any thoughts? Because we were hearing, like, behind the scenes, like, hey, you know what? The Celtics might be interested. If his rehab goes well, we can use him for a playoff push. Like, I was just surprised that I was hearing yesterday, like, oh, he might want to go back to Portland. And before you know it, within an hour, Brian, he was back in Portland.
It was 5 minutes. Zach Lowe tweeted out the rumors, and then Shams was like, all right, here's the deal. And I feel like Zach Lowe knew it was coming, but he just didn't want to, like, you know, go all in with it. I mean, he's like the best at what he does, but he doesn't try to break news, and he's upfront about that. So maybe he just didn't want to anyway. But, like, I find it interesting that it was 3 years, $42 million with a player option, because what that also is a very tradable contract. And if Portland does want to, like, quote unquote, do right by him this time, like, they can do that. Or if he just retires there, then I don't think people are going to, like, be pissed off about it, because this he's arguably their best player ever. It's either him or one other dude. We know who that is. And with Damian Lillard, it's just like, I'm not surprised at the timing, Donnie, but I'm surprised, I guess, that it is in fact Portland. But when you really think about it, it's like, okay, that makes some sense. And if I'm Damian Lillard, like, why not get paid this year to rehab with a team instead of just rehabbing on my own and being out of the league?
Yeah.
Quickly here, Fonseca. Yes or no? That's all we have time for. Does Bradley Beal make the LA Clippers better?
Sure.
That was one word. I'll give you that. All right, Fonseca. Good weekend, my man. We appreciate it. More of the early line.
Reddit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
The coach, JY, is here with us on this Friday as we enter All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis. The orange carpet last night in Indy. The stars of the W showing off their fashion, style, and their orange sense. Looking forward to a ceremonious weekend. Yeah, orange is the color of the WNBA, DRS.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, but red is like, what's the NFL? Just have like a blue carpet? Man. Like, come on, that's always the red carpet. What are we doing?
This guy's out of bounds already. Things are getting, he's out of bounds.
Man, we're off the rails. Things are. Thank God we didn't listen. Thank God we didn't have DRS do fashion police for the WNBA orange carpet. That's all I've got to say. JY, let's start though with all the celebrations we expect this weekend for All-Star festivities in Indy. with something that might kind of hang over all of the festivities. Caitlin Clark dealing with the groin injury once again, who missed her sixth game because of the groin, the 11th because of her injuries this year against the New York Liberty on Wednesday, has now been ruled out. She will not compete in tonight's three-point contest in Indianapolis or as a captain of one of the two All-Star squads tomorrow night in the All-Star game. How much of a shadow, a cloud, does that hang over the fun this weekend in Indianapolis?
Well, that's a huge thunderstorm. I mean, this is the biggest star in the league, and this is the person that drives at all the ratings, although ESPN did rate her as only the ninth best player in the WNBA. We can talk about that again, but I don't want to waste people's time with that nonsense. But listen, she is the megastar, right? She is, I don't know, she is the Tiger Woods of the WNBA, right? She's a person that just not just brings basketball fans, but just casual sports fans or just people in general that want to see the phenomena of Caitlin Clark. And in an All-Star game where there isn't a lot of defense, Ben, and teams can't just load up on you all the time, especially it being Indiana, it probably would have been a sensational performance. So obviously the league is probably pretty upset about it. But we'll see. I'm sure it still will be a good game come Saturday night.
And most of the time, Coach, we look at the ratings. That's what the most important thing is. You're coming up on the CBA renegotiations in the WNBA. That could affect it a little bit. But I do have to give some props sometimes where that's a big decision because soft tissue injury, I can gut it out and play the three-point competition. I can give you 2 to 3 minutes out there. But I think the right move was actually made because if it's about winning championships and having your superstar the healthiest they can be, I love the fact that she's sitting out. From a fan perspective, it's terrible. But, Coach, they absolutely made the right decision with her team saying, hey, hold on. Like, we still got a lot of basketball to play left. Don't worry about the three-point competition. Don't worry about getting in for a couple minutes, even if it's in your hometown that you play in. I like the move here, Coach.
I do, too, as well. Listen, at the end of the day, the tickets were already sold. All right, so it's not going to affect the attendance, right, at the end of the day. So, listen, if it was the first time she did it, you're like, okay, maybe she could just – go through the three-point contest and that's it. But that's a reaggravation. It's kind of like what we talked about before with Jonquel Jones in the past. Second time getting injured, same area. You got to think long-term here in an Indiana Fever team that is struggling to find any kind of consistency, you know, sitting at 12-11 right now. I think they're like in sixth or seventh place in the WNBA. So for them, they got to play the long game, which means at the end of the day, it's going to rely on Mitchell, Aaliyah Boston, Cunningham, Hull. These four ladies have to step up to the plate. And there were spots, Donnie, during when she was hurt the first time, that they did play well. They just got to hold the float until she gets back.
Yeah.
An all-star captain, Nafisa Collier, is the other. That was already exciting as it was. And, of course, we have been asking for one of the best and historic three-point shooters to compete in the three-point contest. She was going to for the first time against Sabrina Ionescu, against the reigning champ in Alicia Gray as well. Unfortunately, we'll have to sit out due to injury. But JY, as we have done this week here on the early line throughout the MLB All-Star break, kind of resetting where the league is, playoff picture standings and so forth, we do the same now at the All-Star break in the WNBA. Unlike Major League Baseball, much closer to the true halfway point of a now expanded 44-game season in the WNBA. Most teams playing around 22, 23, 24 games at most. Here are the odds to win a WNBA championship. The Liberty, the reigning champs, the favorites at plus 170. The best team in the league, though, the only team with 20 wins, that's the Minnesota Lynx at 2-1. Of course, these two teams battled it out in an awesome five-game set that saw overtime and that decisive winner-take-all game five last year, the Liberty edging out the Lynx to win that WNBA title. JY, I ask you the question like this, as we see the Mercury behind, the Indiana Fever not all that far behind either at plus 750. What is more likely, a championship rematch between the Liberty and the Lynx or another team entering the fold in the WNBA finals?
I'm going to take a stab with the Phoenix Mercury making the WNBA Finals. When you look at the play of Alyssa Thomas, now really regarded as a rightfully so, a top three, top four player in the world. Getting, obviously, Satu Sable as well as a free agent to go along with the walking bucket, Kalia Copper. And then getting Dawana Bonner, who's going to be motivated. She did play in Phoenix. Her fiance, Alyssa Thomas, is there. So they're going to be good. That's going to be an interesting thing. Also, you look at the fact that they have the easiest strength of schedule, Ben, the rest of the way. What's key with the Liberty and the Mercury, the number is four. They have to play each other, I do believe, four times the rest of the way. Liberty has one of the easiest schedules as well, third easiest schedule, 23 games left to play. We'll see when Jonquel Jones gets back. If Jonquel Jones is healthy, they're the best team in the WNBA, in my opinion, because also getting that addition of Natasha Cloud, Leona Fibic in her second year, they should be much better.
J.Y., when we look at the odds right now as well, WNBA MVP Nafisa Collier, minus 550. Rookie of the Year, Paige Beckers, minus 6,000. Are both of these award races now already over and done by the All-Star break?
Oh, Paige is done, unless she gets hurt. MVP, if Phoenix gets on, continues a roll, and they can find a way to get past New York to the second seed, then you can look at Alyssa Thomas, particularly the fact that they've missed, Satu Sable's missed time, Kalia Copper's missed time. That could only help her chances if Phoenix can find a way to the two seed.
Alyssa Thomas, a triple-double in the final week before the WNBA All-Star break, or in the final 2 weeks. She has 16 in her career. Nobody else in WNBA history has more than four. She has helped this Mercury team be one of the pleasant surprises of the first half of the WNBA season. All-Star weekend in Indy with the coach next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
WNBA All-Star Weekend starts tonight in full in Indianapolis. Of course, with the absence of Caitlin Clark, who will be there at the events, but not competing in the actual events or the All-Star game. A slightly sour tone, but still should be fun and exciting. JY, on this Friday, three-point contest and the skills challenge, where the reigning champ, who won both, is involved in both fields again. The All-Star from Atlanta, Alicia Gray, who has been one of the bright spots for this dream team, that right now would be a playoff team if the season ended today. But of course, when you think three-point contest and one of the players in the field, that is Sabrina Ionescu, who set a record with 37 made threes in the final round 2 years ago to win the three-point contest. JY, break it down for us. Who's going to go home as a champion tonight in both the three-point contest and that skills challenge?
Well, Alicia Gray is not going to do the double, but she'll hit a single, and I'm going to take her to win the skills challenge because her ability quickly to get up the floor, her ability to knock down three, shooting it at 30, I think it's at 38%, if I'm not mistaken. Alicia Gray, I do think she wins the skills challenge. When it comes to the three-point shootout, I'm going to go with Sabrina Ionescu. I've said it before in this network. I watched this young lady when she was at Oregon play a game called Red Light, Green Light, where you have to make, when you miss two threes in a row, you go to the next spot. 20 minutes later, she's still shooting. So I'm going to go bet on the favorite in regard to the three-point contest, and that's Sabrina Ionescu.
By the way, Coach, let me ask you a quick question about All-Star Weekend as well. How can we improve it? We're always looking at the All-Star game, making adjustments here, because I think Major League Baseball does it maybe the best option. Are we happy with the way the WNBA is presented here at the All-Star game, or what changes would you like to make or would you like to see in the All-Star game?
No, I mean, listen, the fact that the top players go into the event of All-Star Weekend already makes it better than the NBA. When NBA guys, they all duck each other. There's guys in the G League that are competing in the NBA dunk contest. No offense to Mac McClung, but let's be honest. We want Anthony Edwards. We want the superstars to be in the dunk contest, in the three-point contest. So I think the WNBA has figured out by having their best players involved in it. Obviously, not having Caitlin Clark is going to hurt the event. But at the end of the day, there's more than enough stars, not only in the three-point shootout and the skills competition, but also in the All-Star game, which should make it for a good atmosphere this weekend.
Right. Yes, it certainly should. And of course, JY, tomorrow night in the WNBA All-Star game, Team Clark will not have their captain on the hardwood, but she will be there on the bench helping your friend Sandy Brondello, the head coach of the Liberty and the reigning champions, try to lead Team Clark to a victory. On the other side, it is Team Collier with the WNBA MVP favorite, Nafisa Collier, and her head coach in Minnesota, who coached the U.S. Olympic team last year in Cheryl Reeve. There was a coach swap, I'm sure for just a matter of coincidence, by the way, on draft night of those all-star teams. Certainly no bitterness of how the Olympic team selections went a season ago. Team Collier, JY, a 3.5-point favorite. The total, 257 and a hook. We are expecting some offense, of course, in the exhibition match that is the All-Star game tomorrow inside Cambridge Fieldhouse. Which side do you think comes out with a dub in the All-Star game tomorrow night?
I'm going to take the underdogs, and I'm going to take Team Clark plus the points. When you look at it, you got to look at it in regards to guard play and shot making, right? So you look at Ozzy Anescu, you look at Kelsey Mitchell, you look at Sonia Citron, Jackie Young, Kayla Thorne's had a fantastic year for the Valkyries, Golden State Valkyries. So to me, I like them plus the 3.5 to get the job done. MVP, I guess she's going to win it twice in regards to a three-point winner, guard, shooter, Kayla Clark not there. No, it's Sabrina Anescu to be the MVP in an upset win by Team Clark.
Wow.
I still think Team Clark is loaded in terms of the talent, even without Caitlin Clark on the floor. I think if Caitlin Clark was playing JY, that Team Clark in Indy would no doubt be a favorite. I think we've got a slightly wrong price on that spread, as you are alluding to. And let's just look at the money line and a fun exhibition match. JY, enjoy your All-Star weekend, my friend. Enjoy your weekend just overall. We appreciate your time, as always, here on the Early Line.
I mean, talk about All-Star weekend. We have Ben Stevens, first-team All-Star, and then Donnie Wrightside, All-Star hater. But that's okay. We all are going to have fun watching the game. Donnie, are you going to watch the game this weekend? Picks?
Yeah, you want my pick? It's Kelsey Plum for MVP. Darren Waller is back in the NFL. She's going to show him what's up. She's going to show him what's up this weekend. MVP Kelsey Plum.
Steven!
Yeah.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.